Kelly, Coffee, and called, a track called I Would Die For That, which is all to do with National Infertility Awareness Week, which it is this week, and there's a festival, an awareness campaign that is going on this week for folk to get involved with, to find information out, and so forth. And there's this lovely lady called True Spencer, who's written a book called Two Stars and a Mother from Mars, I think it's called, Two Little Stars and a Mother from Mars, which is out this week, which is about her her contact with IVF treatment and the difficulties, both emotional, practical, financial, that this treatment can cause, and about the obvious benefits. Now, I have a phone interview with True all lined up and ready, apart from part one, which has just crashed on me. So I can tell you that what happened in it was this. I said, hello, how are you? She said, I'm fine. She said, and I said, tell me a little bit about your book. And she said, well, I wrote this book based on, it was a kind of a pie in the sky idea. She said it was she wanted to write a book, and then she thought, you know, everybody wants to, you know, lots of people want to write a book and they never get around to it, and why would she necessarily? But it was after the she'd had her twins, actually, through the IVF treatment. It'd take a while to get to that point. And she just felt that she wanted to get some stuff out, really, I think, was her initial reaction. Because there was a whole gamut of mixed emotions that came along with this, this period for her and her husband, James. So eventually, having put it off and started it and stopped it, she met through her father a woman who had been going through the same, and she talked with her, and the woman was who became a friend over the course of a period of time was really supported by True's experience, and it really spurred True on to then go ahead and write the book, which is now published. We talked about the difficulty with writing. That was the first part of the interview, and then I asked her, how much does it cost to go through the IVF treatment?
I think the cost to the NHS is somewhere in the region of £3,000 per cycle. So if you're lucky enough to get NHS funding, which, to be honest, most people don't, then it would cost the NHS sort of that equivalent. If you have to fund it privately, it's probably around £5,000 per cycle, but then you've also got your drugs, which can cost anywhere from probably about 900 up to 1800, something like that. It depends. You don't always know your drugs cost until you're on a cycle, you see, because it can change sort of midway through. So it's very difficult to put an exact figure on that element of it. But it's costly, very.
How does the treatment work?
Well, it entails taking a drug to do something called down regulation, which puts all your hormones to a certain level so that an egg won't be released, so that the treatment can be controlled, and then once you've got to that point, they take a blood test to make sure you're at that point, and then you have to start these other drugs, usually that you inject, and then that stimulates the ovaries to produce many, many eggs, and then when you're at the point of just before they would be released, there's a booster shot, and then a day or so after, 2 days after the booster shot, the eggs are harvested. So they're taken, and then through the fluid they see how many eggs that you have. And then depending on which type of IVF you're having, for instance, we had ICSI, which is where the sperm is injected directly into the egg. After they've done that point, assuming that those embryos then survive, then they will be put back probably between 3 and 5 days, depending on whether you want to go for something called a blastocyst transfer, And then after that point, it's another 2 weeks or so, and then you have to just wait and find out whether it works and you're pregnant or not. So in sort of a nutshell, it's a couple of months process for a cycle. Then right. You just have to decide whether you can do it all over again.
Is this...
Financially and yeah. Emotionally, obviously, it, yeah.
Are there other treatments you can have apart from IVF?
Well, there are treatments that you can do before you get to the point of IVF. I mean, IVF is sort of the last option, really, when all other options have been tried. There's some surgical options that can be tried first if people want to go that route. There are some other sort of drugs-only options that can regulate hormones if somebody has a problem with, if that's the reason for their infertility. So, yes, there are other things that can be tried, and they should be if you know, your doctor suggests that in your case, you know, we know what the reason is and we can try this first, then absolutely go down that route, because, yeah, IVF, there is nothing after that. If you've done that and that doesn't work, that is it.
And you had twins through this process. So, is the likelihood, if you go through IVF, that you're more likely, in fact, to have twins?
It can be, yes. I think they're trying to, the legislation now is trying to promote just to put one embryo back rather than the two, because the chances, if you do put two back, that they both implant, especially if you do it at what's called the blastocyst stage, which is where the embryo is left to develop just that little bit longer, so that it has it gets to a stage that's further developed before it's put back, which... If it's put back on a 3-day, naturally, if you conceive naturally, that embryo wouldn't be in the uterus at that point, whereas if it's left to be a blastocyst stage and then put back, that is the point that it should be in the uterus. So the likelihood, I think, is that it will implant more so. But it is a risk, because not every embryo does get to that stage. So I think they only try and do that if you've had several failed cycles, for instance, because it is quite a risk that you're going to lose them. But on our last one, that's what we decided to do, because we knew it was our last chance. Then, yes, the chances are much elevated. So, overall, yeah, it is more likely.
How old are your twins?
They're 6 and a half.
How long did it take you to put the book together?
I started it about a year. I probably wasn't in the right frame of mind until about a year after they were born to really do anything or actually think to write something down. So I think it probably started then. And then, as I say, I did leave it for a while. I also had some studies I had to get finished. And then I sort of went back to it, and then I was prompted to finish it by this lady that I mentioned that my father put me in touch with. So probably... about 5 years in total, I think, yeah.
Is this book for everyone?
I hope so. For sure it's for people that are going through infertility for one way or another, but I'm also hoping that it might be of interest to people that maybe know somebody. I mean, there is a lot of us that do know someone, family or friends, work colleagues perhaps. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what is involved in IVF and how it does affect a person and a couple, and I'm hoping that if somebody reads the book, who then might actually understand, wow, you know, this really is a big deal for a lot of people, because it goes into quite a lot of depth about me and how I felt, and sort of feelings and the sort of questions that came up for me as a person, as a character. So I'm hoping that, as well as people going through infertility, that it would be of interest to others as well, yeah.
So, having written the book, and it's out there, is this your last book, or is this something you've just now discovered a new way forward?
I'm hoping that it is potentially a new way forward, yes. It is a bit weird for me, because, as I say, when I started it, I had no intention, and never in a million years would I have thought that, you know, I would actually get to the point of publishing a book. It's one of those things that, you know, I think people think, oh, that would be nice to do. And, you know, it goes back to this pie in the sky idea. I'm actually a qualified interior designer. So which is also my passion. So but then my personality has always been one of, if an opportunity comes up, go with it and see where it will take you. I'm not one to just say, no, I'm not going to do that because I want to do this. So I am very open-minded in what happens with that. Now it's out there. I've written a few articles as well for some online and some print publications, and I think potentially it could be something that I would like to take forward and sort of explore a bit more and see where I can go with that. There may be a children's book in there somewhere too that I've had in my head for a long time, so maybe I'll get the opportunity to do that as well. We'll see. Yeah.
Are you taking part in any events for the for Infertility Awareness Week?
I'm not sure what I'm going to be involved in exactly. I think there was a Twitter conversation planned at some point. I'm not sure if that's going ahead. There is a fertility show at the end of the Awareness Week, which is from the 2nd and 3rd of November at the Olympia Exhibition Centre in London, although I won't be, unfortunately, able to go to that. But I am available, for any events that do pop up during the week. I think it's probably going to be one of those situations rather than a planned event, if you like.
Well, I wish you much luck with it, Tru. Thank you very much for being on the phone for us today.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
And that was that. Unfortunately, I'm not able to get the first part of the interview up for you today. But I think I pretty much covered what was in it. I did also ask her how her husband felt about her bearing all, if you like, in this book, and apparently he's unconcerned, and he understands the situation and realises the usefulness of writing the book as a kind of catharsis, I suppose. So everything was fine for her husband as well, and she's getting on from there. I'll tell you a little bit about National Infertility Awareness Week, or a little bit about the facts of infertility. It's apparently the most common reason after pregnancy for women aged 20 to 45 to visit their GP. One in six couples in the UK experience difficulties conceiving, which equates to about 3.5 million people. The majority of fertility treatment in the UK has to be paid for privately. And apparently the NHS provision varies tremendously based on your postcode. I don't know how that works, but that apparently is it. And in over 40% of instances of infertility, the causes are unexplained. And apparently a healthy diet and lifestyle can help improve your chances. A healthy head, maybe healthy heart. That's something we'll be talking about after this, actually. We'll be speaking with Mel Carlisle, who's the organiser of the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival coming to the Brighton Centre a few days. It comes Friday the 1st and 2nd and 3rd of November. First of all, let's have this track, which is also to do with infertility. It's called Invisible Loss, and it's been performed here by Underhill Rose. This is Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.